you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Your goal is simple. Eliminate all disease. The constraint is also simple. Resources are scarce. You have limited money, time, and talent. Every dollar on a low-impact trial is a dollar not curing cancer. Every researcher writing grant applications is a researcher not doing research. Every patient excluded from trials is data you'll never collect and a person you'll never help. Your current system fails this optimization so thoroughly, it almost looks intentional. Your NIH spends $47 billion a year. Your scientists spend 50 to 67% of their time writing grant applications instead of doing science. Billions flow to projects that never produce treatments. Your system isn't designed to maximize cures. It's designed to maximize grant writing. This isn't a conspiracy. It's just what happens when you design a system that rewards asking for money instead of producing results. You've accidentally built a machine whose primary output is paperwork and whose secondary output is, occasionally, reluctantly, medicine. Your decentralized institutes of health is an alternative design that optimizes for a single metric, maximum ROI toward disease eradication. It's what you'd build if you started from scratch and actually wanted results. The health industrial complex, coordinating your war on disease. The Olson problem. Your economist, Manker Olson, identified why public goods are systematically underproduced, diffuse benefits, and concentrated costs. In simpler terms, everyone benefits from a cure for cancer, but nobody benefits enough to fight for it, the way a weapons manufacturer fights for a bomber contract. It's one of those observations that's obvious once someone says it and invisible before, which describes most of your species' problems. Curing cancer benefits 8 billion people a little, but nobody benefits enough to organize, lobby, and fight for it the way a defense contractor fights for a bomber contract. The 8 billion don't show up. This is why your species has spent 50 years fighting cancer, while your defense industry got stealth bombers, aircraft carriers, and GPS. Your military-industrial complex solved this problem for defense. Defense contractors, generals, politicians, and workers all have concentrated interests in military spending. They coordinate, they lobby, they win budgets. Result? The most powerful military in human history. Disease has no such coalition. Your patients are too sick to lobby. Your researchers compete for scraps. Your funders lack coordination. Your politicians get no credit for cures that arrive after their term ends, which is all of them, because cures take 15 years and terms last 4. Everyone wants disease eradicated. No one has a concentrated interest in making it happen. It's like everyone wanting a clean kitchen, but nobody wanting to do the dishes, except the dishes are cancer and the kitchen is on fire. Your decentralized institutes of health solves the Olsonian problem by creating concentrated interests in disease eradication. Your military-industrial complex coordinates actors around defense. Your decentralized institutes of health creates a health-industrial complex that coordinates actors around eradication. Same structure, opposite purpose. Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, or SHAFE, for your war on disease. In 1944, Eisenhower didn't replace the Allied armies, he coordinated them, set the objective, allocated resources, made sure everyone pulled in the same direction. Your decentralized institutes of health is SHAFE for the war on disease. Pharma companies stay pharma companies. Universities stay universities. Patient groups stay patient groups, but they operate as one force because your decentralized institutes of health coordinates them toward eradication. Your war on disease has been losing for 50 years because it's not actually a war. It's a collection of uncoordinated skirmishes where researchers compete for grants, pharma companies hide failures, and patients can't access trials. You've been fighting cancer the way a cat fights a laser pointer. Lots of energy, no coordination, nothing caught. Imagine if D-Day had been run this way. The Americans land at one beach, the British at another. Neither tells the other what they learned. Both compete for the same supply ships while the enemy reads their grant applications. Your decentralized institutes of health is the coordination layer that turns scattered skirmishes into a unified campaign. Your decentralized institutes of health, the return on investment, or ROI, maximization protocol. Your decentralized institutes of health is not a platform. It's not an organization. It's not even really a thing. It's a coordination protocol with one function. Make every actor do the highest ROI thing toward total disease eradication. This means every dollar flows to maximum impact. Every researcher works on highest value problems. Every patient joins trials that matter most. Nothing gets wasted on low ROI activities. On your planet, you call this radical. On mine, we call it obvious. We built ours 4,297 years ago. It's been running ever since, which is longer than most of your civilizations have existed, though to be fair, that's a low bar. Three core functions. Your decentralized institutes of health does exactly three things. Receive funds from the 1% treaty, donations, etc. Allocate research via patient subsidies, market mechanism, and infrastructure via wishocracy. Verify results and pay proportional to impact. Everything operational is outsourced. Trial infrastructure, existing and new providers compete for that work. Task decomposition, AI services. Talent matching, existing marketplaces. Crowdfunding, existing platforms. Why stay thin? Because thin protocols are hard to capture. There's nothing to bribe. No operational role to corrupt. No CEO to take on a yacht trip. Just code that moves money toward measured outcomes. Your species has a habit of corrupting every institution you build. You corrupt them the way water corrodes pipes, inevitably, given enough time and contact. This one is boring enough that nobody bothers. The core innovation. Pay for results. Every dollar flows based on results, not promises. Patients vote with their enrollment, and researchers get paid for attracting patients. Outcomes determine continued funding. Campaigns that deliver get more, and failures get defunded. No one gets paid for writing grant proposals. No one gets paid for attending review committees. No one gets paid for publishing papers about why their research might work someday. This is how most other industries work. You pay contractors when they build the house, not when they promise to build it. You pay farmers when they grow the food, not when they apply for a farming license. Your data commons. Publish everything. Your current system hides failures. Companies bury negative results. Researchers don't publish what didn't work. Your scientists waste billions repeating mistakes someone else already made because they literally cannot find out those mistakes were already made. It's like your whole species has amnesia, but only for the embarrassing parts. You remember your triumphs in high definition and forget your failures completely. This is called being human. It's also called why you keep dying. Your decentralized institutes of health requires 100% open publication of all data, positive and negative, as a condition of funding. Every trial, every result, and every dataset is published. AI models scan the global data commons, finding patterns humans miss. Failed experiments become shared knowledge, not repeated waste. This is intelligence sharing in the Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, or SHEIF. Your allies won partly because they shared ultra-intercepts across commands. Your war on disease loses because everyone guards their failures like trade secrets. Think of it as a group chat where everyone shares what didn't work, except the group is your entire species and the topic is death prevention. Governance, market mechanism plus wishocracy. Your decentralized institutes of health uses two allocation mechanisms. Patient subsidies mean market mechanism, and research funding follows patient choice. Patients enroll in trials they believe in, and funding flows accordingly. Variable subsidy rates ensure rare diseases remain viable. No committees decide cancer versus Alzheimer's. Wishocracy is used for infrastructure and public goods only. It aggregates preferences through pairwise comparisons, electronic health record integration, or security audits. The incentive stack, making ROI the selfish choice. Your decentralized institutes of health doesn't rely on altruism. Altruism is lovely but flaky. It shows up when it feels like it, cancels last minute, and is always busy that weekend. Instead, your decentralized institutes of health pays everyone to do the highest ROI thing. Greed is more dependable than kindness. Your entire economic system proves this daily. Nobody ever forgot to be greedy. Researchers want money and prestige, so they are paid per-patient subsidies, where attracting patients equals getting paid. Patients want health and compensation, so they receive subsidies that scale with trial importance, where joining high-priority trials equals being paid more. Politicians want re-election and legacy, so they use incentive alignment bonds, IABs, tied to disease outcomes, where better outcomes mean a bigger bonus. Funders want impact and returns, so they use quadratic matching and outcome tracking, where high ROI donations lead to amplified impact. Data providers want revenue, so they receive fees tied to data utility, where more useful data equals more revenue. Campaigns want funding, so they receive results-based continued funding, where a higher ROI equals more funding. Every incentive is ROI-weighted, not just do good, but do the most good per dollar or hour. Your decentralized institutes of health makes the highest ROI action the selfish choice for every actor. Selfishness, properly directed, cures cancer. The civilizations I've worked with that figured this out are still around. The ones that decided selfishness was the problem and tried to build systems that required everyone to be nice are not. How your researchers get paid. Your traditional system: write a grant proposal, hope a committee likes it, get paid to try, maybe produce results, maybe not, get paid either way. Your decentralized institutes of health system: per-patient subsidies mean that the more patients who join your trial, the more funding you get. Variable subsidy rates mean rare diseases get higher per-patient subsidies, so small patient pools don't mean small budgets. Results-based continuation means you deliver results to get more funding, or you get defunded. Pay your scientists like you pay your plumbers, for fixing the problem, not for explaining why it's hard. How it works for your patients. Your decentralized institutes of health doesn't replace your healthcare system. It adds an experimental treatment insurance layer on top. Your species already understands insurance. You just hadn't thought to apply it to not dying of untreated diseases. Sarah has type 2 diabetes. Old system. Metformin not working, no other options covered, pays hundreds per month for a branded drug, still has poor control.
With your decentralized institutes of health, her doctor checks the trial network during a regular visit, sees relevant trials, recommends one based on Sarah's profile. Sarah enrolls with one click. The trial coverage pool covers all costs. Sarah pays a small copay, gets an experimental drug that might work better, reports blood sugar via app. Her data helps the next patient. Total time added to doctor visit, 3 minutes. Why your doctors will cooperate. More treatment options for desperate patients. No liability, covered by trial insurance. Minimal workflow changes. Why your patients will use it. Affordable access to experimental treatments. Doctor recommended. Insurance-like coverage, familiar model. No financial risk. They help others while helping themselves. It's like being a guinea pig, except the guinea pig gets paid and gets medicine. How the money flows. The architecture. The 1% treaty fund holds the treasury from the 1% treaty, allocates between infrastructure and public goods via wishocracy. Funds campaigns, not bureaucracies. No CEO, no board, no one to corrupt. Your decentralized institute of health, a thin coordination protocol, receives funding from the 1% treaty fund, research allocation via market allocation, verifies results, pays for outcomes. Trial infrastructure providers, funded campaigns that compete to provide trial infrastructure, not part of your decentralized institutes of health itself, just service providers with no budget authority. The fund flow. Your 1% treaty redirects $27.2 billion a year from global military budgets into the 1% treaty fund, but not all of it reaches research. Some of it goes to keeping the machine running. Incentive alignment bonds receive 10% plus 10%, or $2.72 plus $2.72 billion, to align investors and politicians with outcomes. The research treasury receives 80%, totaling $21.8 billion, for patient subsidies via market allocation. What gets funded? Market failures only. Most research allocation happens automatically. Patients choose trials, funding flows there. Your 1% treaty fund primarily funds market failures. These are the things your ecosystem can't handle on its own. Infrastructure, development and operations, competing alternative implementations, data commons infrastructure, storage, processing, security audits and fraud detection systems, true public goods, no revenue model, patient trial participation subsidies, negative results publishing, replication studies. This is minimal by design. Your ecosystem handles most research funding automatically. Companies register treatments, patients join trials, revenue flows, research happens. Your decentralized institutes of health only directs the 1% treaty fund to cover what the market genuinely can't. What your decentralized institutes of health outsources and why? Your decentralized institutes of health is intentionally minimal. It outsources everything operational because the best way to avoid corruption is to have nothing worth corrupting. If a provider stops performing, you fund a better one. This is how your species runs restaurants. Time to try it with medicine. Trial infrastructure is outsourced to competing providers, funded campaigns, to separate concerns. Crowdfunding is outsourced to existing platforms because they already exist and work. Talent matching is outsourced to existing marketplaces to avoid reinventing what already works. Data storage is outsourced to competing providers to encourage market competition. Every outsourced function follows the same life cycle: propose, vote via wishocracy, receive funding, deliver, get measured, and earn continued funding based on results. Anti-capture design. Your current system is trivially captured. Concentrate billions of dollars in a few committees, and lobbyists will find them. This is as predictable as gravity, and your species keeps being surprised by it the way a dog is surprised by a vacuum cleaner, every single time. Your decentralized institutes of health makes capture economically irrational. how your decentralized institutes of health resists capture. There is no CEO, meaning there is nothing to bribe, and the capture cost is not applicable. Algorithmic governance encodes rules in transparent, auditable systems because you can't bribe an algorithm. A public ledger ensures every dollar is tracked, making corruption visible. The system is replaceable because anyone can build a competing alternative, meaning capture triggers competition. Distributed voting involves millions voting via wishocracy, so lobbying doesn't scale. Outcome-based funding determines allocation by results, making gaming harder than performing. Your protocol ensures no single component can monopolize power. Everything is replaceable. Nothing is essential except the coordination rules themselves. If any campaign provider gets captured, fund a competing one instead. Security, defense in depth. A $27.2 billion treasury is a massive target. Every thief, hacker, and corrupt bureaucrat on your planet will try to steal from it. This is not speculation. This is a certainty, like sunrise or politician lying. Your decentralized institutes of health uses defense in depth. Distributed control. No single person or committee holds the keys. Community governance with time-delayed execution so fraud can be caught before funds move. Automated fraud detection, real-time anomaly detection, duplication monitoring, and whistleblower bounties. Machines watch the money so humans don't have to be trusted with it. Full transparency. Every dollar tracked on public ledgers, regular independent audits. You can't steal what everyone can see. Recovery mechanisms, clawbacks for data falsification, emergency pause capabilities. If something goes wrong, the system stops and fixes itself before continuing. Summary, your coordination layer. Your decentralized institutes of health is not a research institution, a trial platform, or a funding agency. It's the thin layer that coordinates all of them. The 1% treaty fund serves as the treasury and receives funds from the treaty. Patient subsidies manage research allocation through a market mechanism where patients choose trials. Wishocracy handles infrastructure governance and allocates between infrastructure and public goods. Trial infrastructure provides clinical trial services through funded campaigns with competing providers. Incentive alignment bonds manage investor and political alignment through outcome-based rewards. The single-sentence version is, your decentralized institutes of health receives funds, allocates research via patient subsidies, governs infrastructure via wishocracy, verifies results, and pays proportional to outcomes, making the highest ROI action the selfish choice for every actor. That's the theory. The rest of this manual explains how you actually build it. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.